You guys have it though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I know the Whitakers are out of town
this morning.
Hope to be back for worship.
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh, do they?
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, good to see everybody, and thanks for coming. Thanks for David filling in for me when I was in the fog and incapacitated more than I normally am. It's good to be back, and good to be back in class and have an opportunity to lead our discussion today. And Joey, why don't you lead a prayer for us before we get started, if you don't mind. Please, sir.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for this opportunity to come together to study your word, to learn more about how we should guide our children, to strengthen our families, to always seek to follow you. Learn and take things from it that we can only use for ourselves, but to be lights to shine to others, to have they should also be able to raise their children in admonition of you. Ask that you'll forgive us of our sins, since you hear something we pray.
Amen. So, classes we have left. We've got today, we've got Wednesday, and we've got next Sunday morning. And then we have a midterm thing on Wednesday night. And we're going to have some young men that are going to be participating and making some talk on it that Wednesday night. And then the next class we'll start on, is it the 6th, David? Is that right?
October 6th.
Yeah, so the 6th will be the next class. And hopefully you have picked up one of these sheets that we got out in the foyer on those tables. And it outlines the classes that we're going to have for next quarter. Let Your Heart Not Be Troubled. It's in the auditorium with Matt Mayo and Brad Wood. 1 Corinthians, second quarter of that class, Johnny Montgomery and Travis Renfro will continue in that study. It will be the second of two quarters. Job is going to be going on the fourth quarter, and that is Mark Woodward and Brian Whiteside. And then the Holy Spirit, and that's Mark Pape and Curtis Pope, and that's going to be in this room right here. I see where I made a mistake, and I said third quarter classes. That's actually fourth quarter classes, isn't it? So anyway, that's my fault, so I'll ring that bell for myself. But anyway, that's the classes for the fourth quarter, okay? And if you haven't taken time to read the paragraph about each of these classes and try to decide what class you're going to be in next, do that, please. And be thinking about dedicating your time to be able to make that happen. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? We've got three classes left, and so I felt like what we really needed to talk about today, and we're going to do this today, we're going to do it Wednesday, and then David will do a summary for us on next Sunday. But I thought we would talk about and get you all involved in, I'm going to put you way outside your comfort zone, so get ready for this, okay? Practical applications and having conversations with one another right here in the classroom. Okay? We might even move some chairs around and get everybody in groups, but that's what we're gonna do. Okay? So, if you just go with it, roll with it, and see what you think. The first thing I want to ask you, though, before we do that, is this. If I ask you the question, what's the most important thing that you've learned during the course of this class that you're going to try and take and apply to your family, whether you do have kids now or you don't have kids now, and how you're going to go about trying to make that happen? Okay? What's the most important thing anybody wants to share that you've learned during the course of this class that you want to take and start trying to apply, or you're already trying to apply as a result of some things that we've done in this class, talked about in this class? Jace, no kids.
Yeah, it's not raising God-centered children. It's being God-centered parents.
Being God-centered parents. I like it. Boy, I put a big check next to that one. It's funny. We talked about it not too long ago, and we said that's exactly what it's about.
Along the same lines of what he was saying, we can talk all day long and try to teach all day long, but we have to show them our example of everything we're trying to teach.
Example and what you teach. Amen that one too. Amanda?
Living intentionally.
All right. Somebody got that. I'm sure more did. And what? Tell me specifically what that means to you, since you brought it up.
Over the past couple of years with boys, for me and personally, it seemed like things were like kind of chaotic. But as soon as like when you started teaching that, I was like, if I just start, everything I do has to be intentional. And so it really limited the chaos in my own day-to-day living.
Systems, and I'm going to say routines. I think that's part of intentional living.
Yes.
And because I think everybody really likes that. I think everybody really likes a system, a structure. Noah, did you have your hand up?
Yes, being proactive and not reactive. Having intention, having the expectation of this is what we're going to do instead of it just being a reactive thing.
All right. Boy, that just warms my heart. Hear y'all say those things. Because it really is important. I mean, you and this right here is so much better off than if you're reacting all the time to everything that happens. Those are great. What else? Anybody else? Okay, Debbie.
Well, just to put all that sort of in a nutshell, there's an urgency to everything that you've got up there. I mean, when we're in the middle of being a parent, we feel like, you know, a parent of small children, I should say, we feel like it's going to last forever. And before we know it, you snap your fingers and it's gone. So there's an urgency about what we're doing, and it makes it very important on a daily basis to attend to each one of those items and to think about them. And the living intentional part, I feel like, is just an awareness of God being in the room, an awareness of God's law and everything we do, the way we talk to our children, just the whole.
Yeah. You know, and all of this fits in with a thought that I had this morning when I was just going over all this again and thinking about it. You know, one of the things that's kind of gone away to some degree that everybody used to have was a calendar hanging on the wall. And my wife still keeps a calendar hanging on the refrigerator. And she writes down dates and things that she wants to keep up with that calendar on the wall. And as every month flips by, we flip that calendar over and it's another month. And y'all realize how many months we got left here in the year of 2019? About three. It is unbelievable how fast this year has gone by. As I think of everything that's happened this year, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff, as I think about everything that has happened in 2019, you've got to have this kind of stuff going on in your life for you to be able to make it and continue to be moving forward in the direction that you want to, but also for the example that you can be for other people. So it's very important that we understand these things and how we go about applying them to our lives. So now, I want you to think about all of this and what we've said here. But now what I want you to do is I want you to think specifically about some scriptures that we've talked about during the course of our study this year that are meaningful to you or have more meaning to you, or you see those scriptures maybe in a different way that you've seen them before. You can look back through your notebooks. You can refer back to some of the notes and things that we've talked about. I don't expect you to necessarily be able to just pull it off the top of your head. But I would encourage you to have some of those scriptures that are foundational stones for you in the way that you're living this intentional life, that you can go back and think about every day, to Debbie's point of an urgency to everything, and Noah in being proactive, and then all of the examples that have been put on the board here. Those all fit into some of my favorite scriptures with regard to how we go about making sure that that happens. Somebody give me a scripture that has either meant more to you now, or you didn't see it the way you do now as a result of some of the things that we've studied in class. Anything in particular? David, what?
Deuteronomy 6.
Deuteronomy 6, what does it say?
I would read.
In a nutshell.
Teach your kids all the time. When they wake up, and what you're teaching them is about God. In the morning when they get up, in the night when they lay down, when you're walking by the wayside.
Right.
Create a pervasive environment where you can share the message about who God is, ultimately, as they grow older, it's who Jesus is and who we should obey.
Okay.
The form should be the foundation for everything that we do in life.
Okay. Then?
As grandparents and parents whose job for raising small ones, obviously, is
sure.
Because I think of the scriptures we've talked about and our job as grandparents in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when Paul tells Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in thee also. So, I mean, our job's not over yet. We've still got lots to do.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm keenly aware of that with my first new grandchild, but also even still with my own children and with my daughter-in-law and all the people that are members of this congregation. So, Matt and then Brian.
Luke 2:52.
Okay.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and Peter and I. Are we able to replace not only our names, but our kids' names there for Jesus' name? Are our children growing in both in wisdom and stature and in favor with God's name?
Great. Brian?
Joshua 24:15. Is deciding that this is going to be the course that we follow in this house, regardless of what comes at us or whatever people are doing, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
And how do you stay grounded in that?
Deciding that's what's going to.
And how does that get applied on a regular basis?
By living intentionally and making those choices to do that.
All those things, right? Anybody else got another one? Dave?
Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. For me, that's a fine line because sometimes I'm kind of harsh. So I need to make sure, you know, that I show love first and foremost. Still disciplining, though. You know, because I don't want, as we've all seen kids who have had, you know, grown up with parents who have been kind of harsh, and after they get out of the house, they kind of go crazy. I don't want that to happen to our kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably pretty hard too. I've admitted that before, but anyway, mm-hmm. They got around me, even However tough I might have been, I still did okay. Brandy.
I'll say Galatians 6, verse 7.
Okay.
Talks about not to be deceived to reap what you sow. And that meant something to me different before this class. And listening to the stories that David talked about failing in court, I remember that one for some reason. It's really important that that we instill God's word into our children just so that we'll reap the benefits of that.
Cool. So you'll reap the benefits and they will as well. So they understand consequences associated with law. I mean, that's the oops. Anybody else? John?
Ephesians 5, 22 through 33.
Ephesians 5.
It's 22 through 33. It's okay. Made me consider my place in the family. I guess I've never really reflected on me being the leader. It's always been the times that I've been lazy in the past, I see that that was probably a mistake, and I should have taken a more prominent role in the decisions that I've made.
Okay. So. Awesome. Folks, I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Proverbs 22, verse 6.
Okay.
Train up a child in the way she goes, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah. So, you're not going to be perfect as parents. You're not going to cross every T and dot every I. You're not going to get everything right. You're going to make mistakes. You may have already made some, and you'll make some more. But the important part is not to be arrogant, but to be humble and understand who you are in the scope of everything that's going on in the world that we live in and our relationship with God and the fact that He's got the answers if we'll just listen. Okay, I gave y'all a little time to get ready for the uncomfortable part. So I'm going to do these handouts, and they're right here.
Well,
yeah, you can do that. And this is cool. This was from one of the, Amanda, the guy he was copying those when we were in the room there getting ready to go. And I just asked her, I said, hey, why don't you give me one of those? That might be something to be useful for the parenting class. And so we ran copies of that, and she was giving that out to, what grade is she teaching right now? Does somebody know?
Fifth and sixth.
Fifth and sixth? So the fifth and sixth graders are getting copies of this today, okay? And it's kind of a nice little reminder for them to think about some things that they should be thinking about with regard to sin and the problems that they might have in their lives and how to fix those problems, but also to get them to think about their relationship with God and the band of gospel too. So, you know, this is just one example of a good work that all of these folks are doing in the lower grade classes to try and help you. But here's the other thing I will say about that, and it's something that we as elders talk about. If all your kids are getting is what happens when they come to class, then you're not doing your job. You're not taking that responsibility in your family like you need to make sure that everything is the way that it needs to be, that these things are priorities like they need to be. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend a few minutes, and we now have 25 minutes, and here's what I'd like for you to do. I'm not going to be so, what I would normally do if I was doing a training thing is I'd have everybody count off with about three different numbers or four, and I'd divide you into four groups, and whatever number you were, ones would be over here, twos would be over here, threes would be here, and fours would be there. But I'd kind of like for husbands and wives to be in their own groups. But what I would like for you to do is break out into about four groups. Turn some chairs around. Guys, we're going to have to turn the chairs around. Are they locked together? They're not, are they?
No.
Okay. So, give me a group up here, of one, a group back there of two, a group back there of three, and a group up here of four. And I'd like for you to just kind of go through some of this, and we'll take, you know, we'll just take them as we go. I'll give you a time frame, and it's going to have to be pretty quick. It's not going to be like you're going to be having a lot of time for discussion. But I want you to think about this. Now, we might not get totally finished with this tonight, to this morning, but we'll talk about them again on Wednesday. And if you and your spouse want to go home and talk about them again some more, then we'll come back to this on Wednesday, and we'll get into some of the details of what's been discussed. Okay, so now not everybody at the same time. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Take the back row and split it in half, and half of you come up here. Okay? Come on. The last four on this side. Yeah. Come on, Brian. All right, get up here, turn them around. Get where you can get comfortable, where y'all can sit down and talk. Get Debbie in there. Okay, you two ladies, y'all come on up here, y'all be part of that group. All right, that's group one. Y'all are gonna be group two, right back there. So let's break that group up back there a little bit. Let's see, give me, here, 5, 6. Let's flip some of this around. One more. Oh, you got that. So we go up. 5, 6 people over here. We got 2, 4, 6, 8, 12. So 2 people up here. You two come up here. You two come up here. Then you and Maggie get up here. Okay. And then you guys all go a little bit bigger for the dog. All right. For anybody listening to this on the recording, they're going to go like, what? What's going on?
No.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll appoint somebody to lead the discussion each group. You're number one. You lead the discussion. Brandon, you just lead the discussion right here. Jace, you lead the discussion right here? Yeah, you'll just be quiet while they talk. You're doing this one. You're doing this handout right here. One with all the questions on, okay? Ben, get in there. Come on over. Yeah.
All right, so we're just going to do all the questions.
All right, so we got a bunch of green.
Going through these questions right here. John's there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay, group leader back there, group leader. Here's your responsibility, group leader. Read the questions out, then everybody in the group contribute, okay? I'm going to put you on a timer so that you're going to have about 5 minutes per topic. You can't just dilly-dally around. You got to start throwing some stuff out there.
So what's important?
So the clock starts right now, and you get 5 minutes.
What do you take with you? The big picture. So how many people are here? Let's say, what do you take with you? We must have with the end in mind.
I know. So what does that mean?
I'm good.
Yeah, I know. Just what we talked about earlier. Let's see.
We were thinking the same thing when you said that, like, hey, you can't put off get it tomorrow, what you got to get today.
How do you
want to
answer the
Lord? All right, so, I can think about time,
are we supposed to answer what we're going to take with us?
And changing it right then. Don't say, I'll get to
what
it.
That right? Say?
That's something I don't think. I didn't know.
Hey, Mr. Jim, what are you trying to say here?
My sister says it's
what are you going to take with us? And then it says you must parent with the end in mind. What does that mean? Am I supposed to answer that?
Yeah. How do you parent with the end in mind?
We just don't see it.
Yeah, you parent
with the end in mind. But it's just thinking about
the day that's going to that five. How do you, what you say about
it? Yeah. Yes. How do you parent it?
No, no, it makes a difference.
Nothing else.
Well, we got makes a difference.
We got a Bible.
Yeah.
I couldn't get
that.
That's right. So you kind of, I mean, you know, if this happens, you know what you're going to do.
That's right.
I know we only have 5 minutes on it.
You think about it.
Right. You know where it's supposed to go. There's a little thing on your shoulder. Through him, it's just, you don't have every day. And you're just every day.
Yeah.
You don't have every day
You got 2.5 minutes for question one.
All right, part of it. You and your first relationship with
God. Yeah, that's one that's to be.
Is it an improvement? And if so, how?
Always can make it important.
One and a half minutes left.
For so it's okay. It's okay. Once you talk about it,
Seconds, wrap it up and get ready to go to question two.
Implementing some of the stuff we learned.
And I think one of the key parts is being God-centered parents. Because we can have so many activities in our lives and then we crowd out time to do those other things that are really, really important.
Okay, please move on to question two. Clock started.
First Corinthians.
That's what we did with ours.
That's what I call it. I'm kind of order. He's not.
They get to this point with, you know, with everyone, Catherine, they do something. They know this one, they're going to get in trouble. Well, no, I mean, yeah, we know they know.
Are you doing this for spiritual health?
So the consistent work goals.
That's right.
And like, we haven't yet implemented it, but we've written down.
I think they definitely are. And I think I can see definite progression since before we married, and as we became parents, and trying to set the right example correctly, and our kids. But with that said,
3 minutes left.
There's no room to ever get comfortable with where you're at, and I don't think that.
Sometimes it's
it doesn't take as much for her to get it.
That's real practical.
Yeah, we just hit ever harder.
We don't have any kids.
But no, for real. I mean, that's right. So like, with that's that, a real practical. You put them in his room, you take toys away. That's a big one.
What would the future of your children look like based on the foundation you're building today?
So we're
going to
be, that's just saying, it's no matter what.
Right.
Even though they do have.
Parts of it might be strong.
Well, you can think about that and think, okay, this is how we need to correct this here. If we see, instead of landing there, we may land over there.
2 minutes left.
Do you say no and mean it? Who is in charge and what needs to change?
It works a lot better. Yeah. Yeah. At that point, he just bends over and takes it. Yeah, he's like, he does. Yeah. Because that was my issue. I get mad at it. And it didn't work.
Especially with
grandchildren,
it's easy to have.
Oh, it's pretty hard.
Yes.
And
you have to always say,
you
know,
just
put
your
hand on the paddle.
But he doesn't understand.
You're saying no to ice cream is different than saying no, you don't go in the store. You're talking to them. Just have to.
I say, I'm not going to click.
About a minute and 30 seconds. Oh, excuse me. 30 seconds left. Just 30 seconds.
The first time they start showing any type of disagreement over the ball, you got to fix it right then.
One time I got it, I told him I didn't want him to do something. I don't think I said I wasn't going to do it. I said I didn't want to do it. I didn't do it when the phone threw it at me. Well, I came home from school and I said the only thing that was in my bedroom was the bed. I mean, for real, he had taken everything and I don't even know what he did with it, but I knew exactly what he was referring to.
Okay, time's up. Start question 3. Question 3, being on the team that wins.
That is really good. Right now, what do you think your child thinks is more important? Worldly things or spiritual things, physical things, stranger things, or things you talk about? If your child is too young, think about what you do and say as husband and wife is one mother.
President of the United States.
Yes, true.
We don't want that. Choose to prioritize your time.
It all teaches priorities, and at the end of the day, like we always think we act like
school is the same.
It's going to be self-learning that is the most important thing. It's easy to say, you know, this child on this side. Their secondary education above trying to spend a whole lot of time on secondary education because we think there's a lot of because the smartest people in the world can live the most messed up lives.
We're trying not to have a lot of money or anything in this country.
These are just principles that we need to feed on.
Good thing that's
what I'm saying.
It's been really hard.
We need to find the
Yeah, you know,
that's good.
And,
so it's maybe
3 minutes left on question 4, 3.
Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, things aren't
right
when they're not happy, when they're away from you, when they're challenged, they don't know that can hang on to God.
One minute left on question 3.
All right.
One thing that we've done,
starts now. This will be the last question today.
What are you doing to practically teach your children what love looks like within your family, with friends, neighbors, and other Christians?
Have people,
far beyond the need that we can serve others easily. it's not something that's going to put us in this difficult situation. But I wanted to learn that even if it did, that he needs to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrap up your conversation on this point. Because we're going to finish this up on Wednesday night. So here's what we got. We're doing 5 minutes per question. I may reset you a little bit in your groups on Wednesday night. Number two. Number three. So with 5 minutes per question, we've got questions 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 to do. That's 30 minutes. I would like for you to look at the remaining questions at home with your spouse. If you have a spouse in here with you during this class, if you don't, that's fine. You can talk to someone about it or do whatever, okay? But come back with some answers. Come to the table with some answers on Wednesday night. 5 minutes per question again. And then we'll have the remaining 15 minutes of class on Wednesday night to go over the answers that we've gotten for all the questions 1 through 10. You know, we'll have more of a formal review that we'll do on that following Sunday. But I thought it would be a great thing. And we did something like this last class, too, where we kind of got everybody engaged and talking and then